talking about a $15 minimum wage may seem common now, but when that number was pitched to SeaTac voters and airport workers in 2013, the concept was far-fetched. You're listening to KNKX. I'm Simone Alisea, and to find out what that historic win meant for labor organizers, I spoke with Jonathan Rosenblum. He was the director of the SeaTac campaign for Working Washington at the time. He has a new book that chronicles the SeaTac story. The book is called Beyond $15, Immigrant Workers, Faith Activists, and the Revival of the Labor Movement. What makes the SeaTac story, what makes it so unique?
I think what was different about SeaTac is that we didn't stop at thinking about how do we make these bad jobs somewhat better. Rather, how do we transform this airport economy and fight for a principle, in this case, making every airport job a good job? Now, as you know, this didn't start out as a fight for $15. This started out as a fight to organize all airport workers. And we quickly realized that we couldn't just organize workers in discrete groups at the airport. We actually needed to organize the whole community and the whole airport.
What I found really, really remarkable is how cinematic it was. You had such a compelling narrative and such compelling characters, and I felt like I could really sort of see, you know, that montage of door knockers, for example, or you know, see the shareholders meeting with people standing up, you know, one at a time, things like that.
Most stories about social struggles are really told from a leadership perspective or an institutional perspective. And what was missing was the experiences and lessons and insights of ordinary people who day to day are on the ground, in the workplace, doing the work, learning about organizing and pushing themselves beyond their comfort zones. And so when I started writing, I realized that one of the missions I had was not just to tell what happened, but to make sure that I was lifting up the stories of people whose stories often get buried or don't get told at all.
In the book, you kind of try to outline what the role of unions are and what you see as the future of the labor movement. Let's start with, what role did SEIU play in the SeaTac fight?
Well, SEIU, along with the Teamsters and other unions, played a pivotal role in funding the campaign, putting the resources on the ground to make it happen. But one of the things that I talk about in the book is that you can't simply look at who's putting the dollars into a campaign, but who else brings resources to the campaign that might not be as tangible, but are every bit as important, such as relationships, the moral authority of people coming out of faith communities, and that combined, these are the ingredients that together can make for a powerful movement.
Well, and you had argued the way unions tried to connect with these groups in other campaigns besides SeaTac, it was essentially, it was just a show. It was, you know, these people were used as tools.
Right. In organizing language, there's this term called transactional relationships where I need something from you, and so I ask you to come and help me out. But I'm not inviting you in as a partner. I'm not asking you to think about the strategy that we're going to work on together. And the different models is about transformational relationships. There's this story in the book where I tell of Reverend John Helmier, a new minister who comes to town, gets involved in the campaign, and joins us in the first Alaska shareholders meeting that we went to in 2012. And then a few months later, John is part of a delegation going to the Alaska headquarters, and there are about 500 workers behind him, and he's leading this delegation. He gets to the headquarters, and there's a security officer there who says, "You can't pass." And at that point, I was standing next to him. I said, "Go on. I mean, what's he going to do? He can't stop you." And he said afterwards that he realized, "I learned about the power of many of us together, the power of our collective action." And so we were learning from him and other clergy about the power of the moral voice. At the same time, he and other clergy were learning about the power of collective action. And together, that made for a successful campaign.
This kind of brings me back to the thesis, or if you would, of the book. And it seems to me what you come to is the labor movement cannot be separated from the community itself, from workers themselves. Is this something you came to through the SeaTac campaign? You know, what role did CTAC play in coming to that conclusion?
I think CTAC brought into focus the necessity of a broader sort of labor movement, a social movement union, that we couldn't just improve the jobs at the airport without engaging the community. And we also couldn't engage the community if we weren't engaged on the issues that were important to the community. And so we realized that we couldn't be successful in any part of the campaign, and whether it was winning economic rights or social rights, if we didn't embrace them all. And that had to be under the umbrella of a vision of good jobs at the airport.
Jonathan, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
KNKX comes from the Northwest, where we look to the skies.
Boing, boing, 707, going, going, skywardly, heavenly, higher than bluebirds fly.
88.5 KNKX.
Why then, oh, why can't I?
On KNKX.org and NPR One.